In the course of our reading plan this year, we have gotten into the book of Joshua, and we're kind of, this week we'll wrap up the book of Joshua and move into Judges. Excuse me. But something we remember about the book of Joshua, and I don't know what, how you would rank things that you remember in the book of Joshua. Man, I'll tell you what, one thing sticks out kind of like a sore thumb early in the book. That thing is kind of on. It's thinking about it. There's some light coming out of there, but it's not coming out very well. Try that again. Let's see. Come on, Sally. There you go. Whenever this recording goes up, there will be some of this edited out. We'll see if that thing comes to life. I'm going to kind of, as we start, I want to get back to my introduction here. I'll look at that in a moment. But Achan's sin sticks out in my mind. I don't know about you, but Achan kind of, that thing kind of sticks out there like a sore thumb early in the book, doesn't it? I mean, early in the book, they're getting along, they're crossing the Jordan, they're coming into the land and beginning their conquest, as it were. Hey, there we go. It's alive. As I said, some of this will be edited out. But anyway, that moment, they go in. Joshua sends in the two spies. Sends them into Jericho, and they find Rahab. They run across Rahab, and she keeps them safe. And they tell her what she needs to do if she wants to be safe when they come in. And she does her part, and all of that happens. All of the destruction of Jericho happens. Just as we've taught our children throughout time immemorial with the songs and stuff. But what happens at the end? God gave clear instruction. He gave clear instruction to the people what they were supposed to do. And I learned this after being married to somebody from the South for 16 years. When you use the phrase, bless your heart, when you're talking about somebody, it's usually not good. Bless his heart. Achan just couldn't leave well enough alone. He thought, hey, it's not that much. Took some stuff and he hid it. Well, here's the thing. As we think about Achan's sin tonight, I want us to, I don't know if there's a show Mythbusters still on television or not. Maybe. I don't know. There's too many channels on for me to keep track anymore. But I want us to bust three myths tonight. In this lesson, I want us to think about Achan's sin, and with that sin, I want us to bust three myths. Okay? And I think we can. I believe we can. As I've put the lesson together in my mind, it's already done. I've busted them. I'll lay it out for you, and you can tell me if we've succeeded or not at the end of the lesson. But as we think about this, I've got lesson one on here. Myth one, if you want to call it that. Myth one, one sin won't hurt. I want you to think about James chapter 2, verse 10, just briefly as a backdrop for this point. James writes there, "For whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all." So what does James say? Hey, man, you sin. It matters. It hurts. It matters. It's not a, keeping the law is not keeping up, is not a preponderance deal. You sin, you sin. You sin, it hurts. You sin, it separates. You think about one sin doesn't hurt. Think about Achan himself in Joshua 7:13. Let's go take a look there. Have your Bibles open, if you would. We'll bounce around a little bit in the Old Testament. with some of our texts as we examine just briefly some points. But Joshua 7:13, read with me here. "Stand up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, because the Lord, the God of Israel, has said this, there are things designated for destruction in your midst, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you have removed the designated things from your midst." What happened after Achan took these things and hid them in his tent? Jericho, this fabulous walled city, I say fabulous, I don't know if it's fabulous, but it's big. The people were a massive amount of people. This was an accomplishment. God handing Jericho over to them. Factually speaking, when they scouted out Ai, they decided they didn't need as near as many men. Ai was a much, 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 much smaller place. Should not have required as much effort, as much work to conquer. Yet these people who had just blown the trumpets and had the walls of Jericho fall in on the city, and from there, pillaged, destroyed, burned it to the ground. Nothing left of Jericho. They go up and Ai just routs them. Ai didn't just kind of defeat them. Ai embarrassed them. Sent them packing. Does one sin hurt? Yes, it does. Because of Achan's sin, they were defeated. They were roundly defeated at Ai the first time. Does one sin hurt? Yes, it does. Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. Does one sin hurt? I think in Adam and Eve's case, I think we can fairly say it did hurt. Hurt all mankind because it introduced sin into the world. Not only that, it got them kicked out of the garden. Does one sin hurt? Yes. This idea that one sin won't hurt is a false thought. One the devil sows in our heads and our minds. Think about Moses in Numbers 20, 7 through 13. Did one sin hurt? You better believe it did. One sin cost Moses. That one sin. That one. Does that mean that Moses was blameless before then? We don't read of anything. That doesn't mean things here and there didn't happen. Moses was a human being. That sin, though, that sin mattered, didn't it? It left Moses on the outside and his brother Aaron on the outside. Moses only able to look in. Did one sin hurt? Yes, it did. Think about Nadab and Abihu. One sin really hurt there, didn't it? In Leviticus 10, did that one sin hurt? It absolutely did. So this idea, and as I put these things up here, these are obviously things we look at right away and say, well, yes, obviously that sin did. And the point is this, that the point we need to come to grips with, and this is the thing we need to share with the world. We don't just come to grips with it with us, but we take it out of the world and let the world know that that sin matters. It does matter in God's eyes. He sent His Son to redeem mankind. We need to act like we appreciate that, live our lives in such a way that we show appreciation for it. Think about Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6. Anybody who had read and who knew how the ark was supposed to be carried knew that an ox cart was a fool's errand. This is what the way God wanted it done. Was Uzzah a horrible person for trying to reach out and touch the ark? Uzzah wasn't supposed to touch it. He wasn't supposed to put a hand on it. We may think people can think what they want about it. What Uzzah did was he touched something he wasn't supposed to, and he was struck dead because of it. I want you to think about Ananias and Sapphira. Let me go ahead and put the next thing up here. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Let's move forward to the New Testament. Was it awful what they did? Let's think about what they did. They sold a piece of land and they gave some money to the apostles. They gave some money to Peter. But what did they do? They lied about how much they sold the land for. And they kept some money back. Was it wrong to keep the money back? What did Peter say? It was yours to do with while you had it. You didn't have to sell it. We weren't telling you you had to sell it. We weren't telling you you had to give the whole thing to us. We just asked for some help. Ananias contrived in his brain and his mind and conspired with his wife to do that. And yes, that sin hurt, didn't it? It hurt them immensely. One sin many times leads to other sins. Think about Joseph's brothers in Genesis 37. What'd they think about doing? First thing they were going to do was what? They were going to try to kill him, and Reuben talked him out of that. They put him in the pit, and then they decided they were going to sell him into slavery. And then what'd they do? They sold him into slavery. They were jealous of him, and they were mad at him to start with. The jealousy was a problem. Jealousy's a sin. The anger towards him, the hate for him, was a sin. What'd that drive him to do? It drove him to sell him into slavery and then lie to their own father. To deceive their own father, lied to him about what happened to the boy. Think about David's sin, 2 Samuel 11. We talked about this in our lesson last week. You think about what David's sin did. It just kept compounding. The sin of lust, then adultery, and then he conspired with Joab to commit murder. Yes, one sin can many times will lead to another sin. It will. Does one sin hurt? Yes, it can. It can and it does, and we've got to recognize that. The world may say otherwise. We need not listen to that. We need to recognize the examples we're given in God's Word and take them to heart. One sin can weaken one's resistance to other sins. You think about it, this very thought with David, with David's sin. He was weakened. Once he'd committed one sin, it was easier to commit the next one, wasn't it? Then it was easier to commit the next one. Lust first, adultery second, murder third. Got a lot easier for him. You think about that. That wasn't just David. That's the way it can be with anybody. But we've got to be wary of that in our own lives. Okay. Myth number two here. One sin is nobody's business but his. Is that right? Is that right? I want you to think about how Achan's sin affected his. Did Achan's sin affect anybody besides him? It absolutely did. I want you to first consider with me 1 Corinthians 5:6. I have that on the screen here. Okay. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners. That's not right. That's Romans 5:8. That's Romans 5:8. Let's try that again. I don't know how they got cut in there. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? That image. What is Paul giving us in that image? Does it take a lot of leaven, ladies, to make yeast rolls? I know the answer to this question, by the way. I know because I have a lady in my house who makes yeast rolls. And I know how little you need. And that's the point Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 5:6, is it does not take much to influence the whole lump of dough. Little bit and the whole thing will boom. You put too much in, it really goes boom. You don't want that. Joshua 7:1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully regarding the things designated for destruction. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the designated things. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. It did not burn against just Achan, did it? It burned against the sons of Israel. One sin is nobody's business but his. Is that right? Apparently not. Apparently not. Joshua 7, 2 through 5. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out Ai. Then they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up. Have only about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not trouble all the people there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck and killed about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them on the mountainside, and the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Was Achan's sin nobody's business but his? It affected other people, didn't it? 36 men lost their lives because he saw some shiny things and wanted to bury them. Wanted to take them and bury them. Okay? 36 men lost their lives. A nation went from rousing victory over Jericho to, oh no! Think about that, how quickly it changed. The hearts of the people melted and became like water. That sin had some impact. It had some impact. His sin affected his family. In Joshua 7:24, then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. What'd they do with them? Notice what they're doing. They're collecting everything that belongs to Achan. And what'd they do with them? Verses 25 and 26. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought disaster on us? The Lord will bring disaster on you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones. All Israel. Okay, I want you to think about that. This isn't just a couple. This isn't a handful. All Israel stoned them with stones. And they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You have to wonder what the wife knew and what the kids knew. I don't. I ask that question right now because while they're being stoned to death, and that's what stoning did, it killed you. That was the point of it. I know we read in the New Testament one time Paul survived one. That was rare, very rare for that to happen. As they were having rocks hurled at them by the entire nation of Israel, you have to wonder what they knew and what they thought. And not only that, innocent animals in this. I mean, they weren't even going to use his animals for anything. His animals been around him, hey. It all goes. If it's Achan's, it's gone today. Achan's sin affected his entire family. They all died that day because of what he did. What he did. Others often have to suffer consequences due to other sins. I want you to think with me back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. "You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting the punishment of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me." How does God care for that. God, you think about this. This tells us that others can pay the price. And there are times in our world today, you think about one committing a sin and others can pay for the consequences of that. Think about one who may drive while intoxicated and something horrible happens. And another family suffers a loss because somebody decided they wanted to do something stupid. How terrible that is. But it goes beyond that. There are some, but you think about how that young person's family or that person's family, whether young or old, doesn't matter. That person's family is going to suffer too, aren't they? Because of that incident. Suffer in some way, shape, or form. Not only does one sin hurt, one sin can affect a lot of people. One sin can affect a lot of people and some people who may or may not have had anything to do with it. I'm behind again, sorry. I get excited. Lesson 3, or myth 3. One can keep sin hidden. Was Achan's sin hidden from God? Was it? God knew about it, didn't he? Hence all the events at Ai the first time, God was teaching Israel a lesson. Israel largely was ignorant. That didn't mean they were left without any kind of consequence in this. They were in the midst of it. God wanted them to deal with it. We'll get to that second point in just a second. Hebrews 4, 11 through 13. Therefore, let's make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we must answer. Our secret sins, we may think they're secrets, God knows about them. I'm not saying we need to have a mass confession tonight. I'm just saying we need to understand that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from him, so we don't need to act like it is. It's often not hidden from others. Exodus 20, 11 through 15, I want you to read this with me. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. For that reason the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, what does that have to do with not hiding things from others? Well, in David's case, when he committed adultery, a lot of people were going to find out if he hadn't acknowledged it quickly, but he didn't acknowledge it quickly, and eventually sin took the boy, took the child. He had to acknowledge it before others. People, somebody knew about that. But you think about this also. The murder, the sin of murder many times is not hidden from others. You shall not steal. You go steal from somebody who knows about it. Besides you, besides God. The person you stole from knows about it. They may not know exactly who did it, but they know they've been stolen from and they may very well figure it out. My point is this. We cannot think for a moment that there is anything such as secret sin. There's not. There's nothing at all like that. And Achan learned that the hard way. He learned it the hard way, really hard. And more importantly, Israel learned that lesson at that moment. They needed to learn it. They were certainly taught it. God was telling them, you listen to me. You listen and do what I tell you to, and it's going to be fine. It wasn't like God was threatening them. We think about that. We think about that tone. You need to listen. I don't think God was being mean about it, but God was saying, you need to listen. I've spoken to you. I am the Lord God. I am to be kept holy, is what he's saying. I am to be revered. I am to be heard when I speak. And when I'm heard, it will go well. When I'm obeyed, it will go well for you. When I'm disobeyed, it will not. Now,